ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 12, entitled Vritrasura's Glorious Death, Text 19. Indra uvacha, aho dānava siddhosi, yasyate matiri drishi, भक्तः सर्वात्मनात्मानं सहृदं जगदीश्वरं। इंद्र रिपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। इंद्र सेड, ओ ग्रेट डीमन, आई सी बाय योर डिस्क्रिमिनेशन एंड एंड्योरेंस इन डिवोशनल सर्विस, डिस्पाइट योर डेंजरस पोजिशन, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul and friend of everyone. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6.22, Yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tatah yasmin sthito na dukkhena guruna pi vichalyate. Established in Krishna consciousness, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of the greatest difficulty. Unquote. An unalloyed devotee is never disturbed by any kind of trying circumstance. Indra was surprised to see that Vritrasura, undisturbed, was fixed in devotional service to the Lord. For such a mentality is impossible for a demon. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, anyone can become an exalted devotee. Striyo vaishya satha shudras tepiyanti param gadim. An unalloyed devotee is sure to return home back to Godhead. O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul and friend of everyone. So Indra, fighting in the battlefield with the greatest of demons, Vritrasura, the leader of the demons, is simply amazed at the consciousness of Vritrasura. And even though he is fighting for his own life and is almost on the verge of defeat, still being a Sura, though his action almost is like Asura, Indra's action right here, that he is doubting the words of the Lord. But still, like a sportsman spirit, he is able to appreciate consciousness of Vritrasura in spite of the fact that he is a demon. Because demon, as described by Krishna in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, are those who disregard the scriptures. They have no respect for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor do they actually obey the Supreme Lord. But he is in a demoniac body. But surprisingly, he is speaking and he is acting as a person who has achieved the ultimate perfection of life. And even Indra cannot but appreciate. Aho dānava siddha asi yasyate matiri drishi. Siddha asi. You are now perfect. Now, there are different levels of perfection that people aspire in this material world. Siddhi Siddhi means perfection. Everyone is aspiring for perfection in life. But according to their level of consciousness, their perfection, what they want in life, is differing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the story about a man who asked this boatman. The boatman's job was only, you know, every day as the boat would come near the bank of the river, he would drag the boat and tie it. This was his job. Dragging the boat on the shore of bank of the river, which was filled with very sharp pebbles, which would prick him actually. And he would walk the whole day pulling this rope and tying and releasing and letting the boats go. So when he was asked, if, just like sometimes children are asked, suppose you become, you know, someone tells you, I'm going to give you the boon, what do you want? Or someone tells you, I'm going to give you anything you want, ask what you want. Or if you are given, if you are made the emperor of the whole world, what would you do? Or if you are fulfilled, any, you know, sometimes, and immediately everyone starts going to push their imagination to the supreme according to what their desire and ask. And that is their level. Mulla ki dod masjid tak. So this boatman, he said, if I were to become supremely rich, I will make huge, big pillows and fill it on the bank of the river so that when I have to pull the boat, my feet won't hurt. If he is becoming, why don't you become a owner of the boat and sit at home? Can't think. That's the, according to their matir idrishi, according to their level of intelligence, according to their level of consciousness, they have their aspirations. Kangshantah karvanam siddhim yajanta iha devata kshipram himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. According to their siddhi, they perform their activities. How strong is your desire to achieve that siddhi is demonstrated by your activities. So, kangshantah karvanam siddhim. Karmana here means fruitive activity. We are doing something with expectation of some gain, some perfection to be achieved, to improve our condition of becoming a better controller of things and enjoyer of facilities. So, kangshantah karvanam siddhim yajanta iha devata. People worship, at least if they are pious, iha devata, they worship some demigods who give them siddhi in whatever they want. You want siddhi in terms of passing your exams, best flying colors. You want siddhi in terms of getting promotion till the top of the organization. Whatever you want. Kangshantah karvanam siddhi. The kangshantah, intense desire, akanksha. Karvanam siddhim yajanta iha devata. Kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati. It will happen. But if they are not pious, then iha devata means in this world, devatas. Devatas means powerful personalities of this world. Prabhupada writes, they kowtow to the so-called leaders of big guns. Some political head. If you please that person, act in a way that is pleasing to him. If he is mercifully glances upon you and does some favorably disposed towards you, then he can give you some perfection. He can give you some promotion. He can give you a better position, prestige, money. So, yajanta. Yajanta means worship by sacrifice. To please someone, you have to sacrifice some time, some effort, some energy. So people sacrifice with expectation of some achievement, some perfection. But Indra would not have been surprised if Dhritarashtra had asked for victory in the battle or something.
But he is not at all concerned about these things. He is amazed. He said, Aho Danava Siddha Asi, you have achieved the ultimate perfection. Yasyate Matir Idrishi. What a consciousness. What a level of thought. And what is highest Siddhi? Krishna again describes in the Gita. What is the highest Siddhi? Mam Upetya Punarjanma Dukhale Mashashvatam Na Apnuvanti Mahatmanah Samsiddhim Paramam Gata. This is the ultimate Siddhi. This is the ultimate perfection. This is the highest intelligence, demonstration of highest intelligence. That their aspiration is not Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. Sakali Ashanta. Because even if you achieve the perfection, you are Ashanta. Look at Indra. He has achieved the perfection of controllership and enjoyership over all the administrative demigods. And still he is in anxiety, fighting for life, bewildered, confused, many a time agitated, highly disturbed, always. Because somebody may occupy that position. So Krishna says, Mam Upetya. This is the highest Siddhi, that you try to achieve service to the Supreme Lord, in relationship with the Supreme Lord. Mam Upetya. Why? Because Purarjanma, Dukhalayama Shashvatam, Na Apnuvanti. Go to such a position, from there is no question of coming down again. Because any other position in this material world, there is always chance, there is always anxiety. There is always anxiety and lamentation. This is the background. Just like in classical music, all raga, tala, everything is going on, and in the background the tambura is being played. That helps you keep, you know. So there is a background music always going on. It's to tune in always. In Golok Vrindavan, the background is Madhurya. Even Dasiras is tinged with Madhurya. Sakhyaras is tinged with Madhurya. In Vaikuntha Loka, everything is tinged with Aishwarya Bhav. Opulent. Even Lakshmiji, who is in terms of conjugal, is always massaging the feet. There is tinge with Aishwarya Bhav. In the animal kingdom, in the material world, everything is tinged with fear. Eating, always fearful. Sleeping, 1 year immediately up. Dogs, you see. Sleeping, but tinged with fear. Anything can happen, anything. Somebody can kill me. Somebody can catch me. Similarly, the whole human life in material existence, underlying music, background music is lamentation and anxiety. Always in process of gaining something, in effort to retain something, or while losing it, which is inevitable, ultimately. So there's always anxiety. Sada samudvigna dhyam, Prahlad tells Narsingh, Hiranyakashipu. You conquer the whole world. Sada samudvigna dhyam. Always anxiety. Something may go out of control, which inevitably it happens. Because you are not the controller. Things will go out of your control. Things don't happen the way you want it. So, mam upetya punarjan dukkhale mashashvatam na apnuvanti. To achieve Vaikuntha, a planet where there is no anxiety, absolutely, whatsoever, that is real Siddhi. Mahatmanah, only the greatest soul, a Mahatma is judged by the level of consciousness. You can judge a Mahatma, ask him, what is your aspiration? And he will know what his level of his consciousness. What is his ultimate aspiration? A person's caliber,
a person's refinement, quality is judged by aspiration he keeps. This is our Devamrita Prabhu's very favorite statement. If you want to judge consciousness of a person, ask him, what's your ultimate aspiration in life? You will know what level he is. Aspiration is to become something big in this world. Samajh gaya. You know what is that? He doesn't know anything beyond this. So, samsiddhim paramam gata. This is samsiddhim. This is the ultimate perfection. So that siddhi is a state of consciousness. That is what is being described here. Yasyate matir idrishi. Because your mati is this consciousness. Idrishi, of this quality, this caliber. Anyone can speak big aspirations. At least when they come to the temple, ask anyone, what is your aspiration? Go back home, back to Godhead. But our activities does not show. Our activities does not show that we are sincere, we are desperate about it. So anyone can speak, but in any situation, a person can retain this aspiration and act according to this aspiration. That is a siddha. A siddha's test is his aspiration won't change in any circumstance in life, and his actions are in alignment with his aspiration. It's not that you speak big, but our action is speaking otherwise, our priorities are speaking otherwise, our mentality is speaking otherwise, our consciousness is speaking otherwise. So, Krishna is describing in the 6th chapter, Yam Labdhva, if someone has achieved it, what is the test? Cha aparam labham manyate na adhikam tataha. If he has achieved, what is the proof that that is the highest aspiration? What is the proof? The proof is, no one can ever give you something higher than that. Suppose somebody has aspiration for a 1 lakh job. And somebody says, dekho, soch lo. This person can offer you 10 lakhs. Acha, you leave this, jump there. You worship some devata, 40 weeks, you will get the benefit. And someone said, there is another one who will give you in 8 weeks. Really? So you won't, you are exchanging. If there is something higher, you will exchange for it. But the first test is, anything within the three worlds, as Vritrasura is telling Indra, na parameshtham, I don't even want the position of Brahma. I don't want Ashta Siddhi. Nothing. No one can exchange it or make him compromise on his aspiration and the level of what he has achieved. That is integrity. And this person, Pratrasur is showing, Yam Labdhva cha aparam labham manyate na adhikam tata. He doesn't consider anything higher because there is actually nothing higher than this. And yes means thitaha, having, if you are really situated, this is the first test, that anyone offers anything and tells, give it up, I'll give you this in return. Sorry, sir. This is the first test. And yes means thitaha, if a person is situated, fixed in that consciousness throughout, dukhena guruna api na vichalyate. Intense misery, intense suffering, na vichalyate. He never gets disturbed. Disturbed in terms of his priorities, disturbed in terms of his aspiration, disturbed in terms of his action. That's what Indra is telling. I see by your discrimination, endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And never deviates from that truth. This is the third. Actually, Prabhupada has included it here, but it's in the other verse. Sukham atyantikam yatyat buddhigrahyam atidriyam veti yastrana chaivayam sthitas chalati tatvatah. Chalati means it doesn't move. He doesn't move an inch from his aspiration. That is fixing, becoming fixed up in truth. Therefore, Indra is surprised. So, hearing this, everyone would like to achieve this. Isn't it? Who doesn't want any condition of life? A person is undisturbed. Fixed. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha. That is the buddhi. That is intelligence properly fixed. In terms of two things, intelligence is discrimination and determination. That is the function of intelligence. An intelligent man, really intelligent man, means he discriminates what's to be aspired for, what's not so high. An intelligent man, sukham atyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam. Only an intelligent man can appreciate the highest thing from the lowest thing. Otherwise, anyone can cheat you. No, a discriminative man of discrimination, which is a function of intelligence, he discriminates. No. Asatoma sadgamaya. Hiranyakashipu was told by Prahlad Maharaj, you've got the controllership of the whole world, but sada samudvigna dhyam asadgrahat. Because you are holding on to asat, things which are temporary, you're miserable. Vanam gata yad harimashraye. Take shelter of Hari. That is sat. So asatoma sadgamaya. That's intelligence. Second function of intelligence is, after having ascertained through discrimination what is the highest thing, endurance on the path under all disturbing conditions. Determination. Generally, people fall off if there is a lack of determination. They're overwhelmed or bewildered. But Dhritarasura is not overwhelmed by victory, defeat, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, suffering. He's hardly suffering. One hand is cut. Miserable. So, how to achieve that state of consciousness? Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasabhavita mati. We are talking about mati idrishi. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. Kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatrapi laulyam ekalam mulyam. Intense greed is the only price that you have to pay to achieve this mati. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. So, next question is, what should I do for it? Because Bhagavatam is meant to teach us this. Or, how do I know? Sometimes people ask, I have been chanting for so many years. I really don't know whether I really am progressing. Well, 16 rounds is happening. Coming to satsang, going on. Kuch ho raha hai ki nahi Maharaj? Something happening inside or not. How do you test? Scriptures is like a map. You can easily look in the map and see where you are. Oh, I'm going from Bombay to Lonavala or whatever, Bombay to Pune. I have reached Lonavala. That means this. I have to see this, marks. If I see the building or this particular hotel, yes, I have reached this point. Therefore, Gita, Arjuna asks, Mati Ridrishi, how can I judge that a person has reached that consciousness? Indra is intelligent. He knew Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, through Gita's point of view, he is judging Dhritarasura and he is telling, my God, he is a sthita pragya. His pragya, his consciousness is sthita, fixed, is not moving from the truth. Arjuna, for our benefit, asked Krishna, how do I know this person is advanced or not? Anyone can say I am a pure devotee. After 6 months, suddenly everyone starts feeling, some extent or other, I think I am pure. Lust is getting overcome. One or two are things to be worked on, you know, minor refinement. Otherwise, almost. So for our benefit, Arjuna asks this question. Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sitadihi kim prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim. What is the general disposition of a man whose consciousness is fixed? Siddhosi matiri drishi. Who has achieved the perfection of fixing his intelligence in the highest perfection. How do I know? What is his general disposition? Kim prabhasheta? How does he speak? Kim asita? How does he sit? Brijeta kim? How does he walk? This doesn't mean which language he speaks. What is his vocabulary power? How does he sit means which asana? How does he walk? Because I want to imitate his walking style. No. What is his general disposition? How does he speak? Prabhupada writes in that purport. This is, I would sincerely request you to read Bhagavad Gita's second chapter from text 54. This question is asked to 72. 54 to 72. This is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada writes in the purport, entitled the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Contents of Gita Summarized. Because there is Karma Yoga, there is Jnana Yoga, and there is touching upon Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, or Buddhi Yoga. And from 54 onwards till 72, clear discrimination from the highest consciousness and anything below is beautifully delineated. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, you can judge a rich man by the way he speaks, by the way he, his disposition, how he moves, how he sits, how he walks, how he talks. You can know a diseased person by the way he is sitting, standing, walking, speaking. You can know a rich man, a scholarly person. Each one has his own typical features by which you can immediately recognize symptoms. So Arjuna is wanting this tip. Give me the symptom, how to recognize one, because I want to follow him and become like him. First thing he says is speech. How does he speak? Because it is said a fool is unrecognized till he opens his mouth. Anyone can sit like a scholar, but open your mouth, immediately everyone knows what is his consciousness. Just like that fox which put on the tiger skin, and everyone would think, tiger, lion, lion. But then when the moon came, the nature of the fox is to open their mouth and start howling. Immediately everyone came to know, this is a rascal. He wants simply name and fame, therefore he has put the skin. So a fool is recognized till he opens his mouth. A great soul is also unrecognized till he opens his mouth. Jada Bharat, he was looking like a jada. Jada means foolish Bharat. Dull Bharat. Jada Bharat means dull Bharat. He's looking like a dull man, foolish. Therefore, he was engaged in. Even intelligent man like Rahuguna could not recognize. But the moment Jad Bharat opened his mouth, they exchanged position. Rahuguna and Jad Bharat. So, He's asking, how does he speak? How does he walk? How does he sit? How does he talk? And Krishna begins by saying, what is his general disposition? What is the predominant quality of a person who is really advancing in that ultimate perfection? Siddha Pragya, Siddhosi Matiri Drishi. At least you're making towards that. We can judge by this four qualities. Number one, the general disposition. The first thing is, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partham manogatan atmanyeva atmana tushtah sthitapragyastadochyate. This is the first quality, that Prajahati yada kaman, he has given up. Prajahati means he has completely given up. Kaman, material desires, which is arising from sarvan partha manah gatan. It's all starting from the mind. Whole process of yoga is controlling the mind, purifying the mind, cheto darpana marjanam. It's cleansing the mind of what? Of so many other siddhis that we have. I want to do this, I want to get this, I want to get this, 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 this. Foolishly not knowing that even after achieving that, we won't be happy. We will still be miserable. And it's all there in the mind. So many material desires. So the first thing is Prajahati. Cleanses the mind of all material desires. And Atmanyeva Atmana Tushtaha. Satisfaction. He's satisfied in whatever situation he is, knowing that there is no point in endeavoring for something which is, as Prahlad Maharaj also tells, Sukham Aindriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivad Yatha Dukham Ayatmta. Whatever is material suffering and happiness, you are bound to get it. Even whether you struggle for it or not, you don't aspire. That's not one shouldn't be endeavoring. Satisfaction in terms of material situation. Because that's you cannot change. You may get some facilities thinking that that's going to protect you, but it's not. Your quota of happiness and misery is going to come anyway. So, the first sign is satisfied. Under all circumstances, if you see in the lives of Atmanyeva Atmana Tushtaha, actually finding pleasure and satisfaction in the self. Yes, tu Atmaratireva Syad. Atma Triptascha Manavaha. Atmanyeva Cha Santushtaha. Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate. For such a person, no hard prayas, unnecessary prayas. What is unnecessary endeavor? Endeavor for something which you are not destined to get, and endeavor for something which you cannot avoid. Why endeavor? When you can't get something and when you can't avoid something, just learn to tolerate. The nature of the world is these dualities. This is a world of dualities. Dualities will come. So that is the first sign of a person's advancement. Satisfied in whatever situation he has been put. But if you see in the scriptures, Kolavecha Sridhar, satisfied. Some torn clothes and huts had holes in it. Completely satisfied. He wouldn't make special endeavor. He said, the birds get their... When he was provoked, as once His Holiness Radhanand Swami Maharaj was asked, you know, he was speaking in one of the classes, and he made all of us recite Prabhupada's very famous statement. It says, someone remembers about a man's greatness? Yeah. A man's greatness is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. So Kulaveja Sridhar or Ranti Dev, you know, or Prahlad Maharaj, Haridas Thakur. I was just kind of write down some examples. Now, you may say, hey, this is too much. Haridas Thakur, extreme tolerance. Kulavecha, extreme poverty. Prahlad, extreme torture. Now, none of us will be put under elephant's feet, thrown over cliffs, put in burning oil. Why do Shastras give extreme examples? Of course, one is to show the greatness of the people who exhibited most provoking situations. Therefore, because they were so great, the test was also great. Unless you pass those selective few tests, then you know he's a great man. You know? Big test. Big man means big test. So these were extreme tests because they were extremely great personalities. Another thing is, when you hear the extreme, anything in between, all included. And thirdly, it also makes us very humble. Just because I am tolerated little, you know, forget it. You can't even imagine what Haridas Thakur went through. Can't imagine what Rantidev went through, what Prahlad went through. But the thing is, Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. This is the first sign, the general disposition of an advancing devotee is general satisfaction in whatever situation Krishna has kept in terms of his material and other endeavor, not satisfied with spiritual situation. You should never be satiated over this is what. No. I want to improve, if not the quantity, at least the quality. And when you increase the quality, naturally you want to improve the quantity. Secondly, so this is his general disposition. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. How satisfied are we? It doesn't mean not endeavoring or anything, but satisfied in a sense, all right, I'm not disturbed if things don't. Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma Na Shochati Na Kaangshati. Na Shochati. He's not unnecessarily lamenting too much or not hankering too much. I'll do my best. Forget it. Next, how does he speak? That is also very nicely described. Dukkheshu anudvignamana sukheshu vigata spraha vita raga bhaya krodha sthita dhir muni ruchyate yaha sarvatra anabhisneha tattat prapya shubha ashubham na abhinandati na dveshti sthita na abhinandati na dveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. He is never praising or never condemning the material dualities. Our whole content of our speech is generally praising something we like, praising what we have got, praising some people, praising something, thinking that they're going to provide what I want, what I need, or condemning someone who deprived you of whatever you thought your right was. Generally, that's the underlying substance of most of our speech. Praising things, praising people, praising situations, praising or condemning things, situations, people. In our endeavor to be enjoyers and control in this world. But, then what is his speech? His speech is generally, in any situation, thank you my Lord. That's the content. Hrid vak vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhag. He is a fit candidate for liberation. In fact, he is already a liberated soul. Siddhosi has achieved perfection. Who under all situation and all circumstances thanks the Lord for any situation, any condition that he is in without blaming something, condemning someone or praising something. Just like if you are crossing the road and a car comes and smashes you. Not too much, otherwise you would get up. Just little. One little. Do you get angry, make a fist and beat the bonnet? And an intelligent man will see, blame the driver. You won't start shouting at the bonnet, shouting at the car. Because car is simply an instrument. The driver behind the car. Similarly, a person who has realized that Krishna is the supreme controller, everything, nothing can be sanctioned without his will, sees that some people are becoming an instrument to execute what is I'm supposed to get. But behind that, I see the hand of the Lord and I know the intention of the Lord. Because I'm surrendering to him, ultimately, he's doing what exactly I need to come closer to him. So, thanking the Lord. That's the content of his speech. That's the essence of his speech in every situation. Thank you, Krishna. And using that facility to how to kind of come closer to the Lord. Then, how does he sit? How does he sit means, how does he restrain himself? Sitting at one place. Sitting at one place doesn't mean simply sitting. Sitting means he's fixed at one place. Though he's moving all around, he's fixed at one place. Yada samharate chayam kurmongani va sarvashah indriyanindriyarthebhya tasya pragya pratishthita. Yes, he's moving all around. But kurmaha anga, just like the example is given of a tortoise. A tortoise, it has full control over its limbs and the head. So whenever it wants, it brings out. Whenever it wants, it just withdraws. So similarly, a self-realized soul brings out his senses, activates his senses when he feels it is, I need to take in. And then when he sees that, oh, this place, he just withdraws. That is restraining himself. Just like Mahatma Gandhi on his table had these three monkeys. One has closed his eyes, one has closed his ears, one has closed his mouth. Very famous. Bapuji ke teen bandar. We had a lesson, fourth standard. We will not speak bad, we will not hear bad, we will not see. So I used to always think, how is it practically, if I close all the three, how can I function? In installments, I can't close because something I hear when I close my ears. And I have, by the way, only two hands. How do I do that effectively? But the complete understanding is given by Krishna consciousness. That I use my senses, beautifully described, Tani sarvani sayamya yukta asita mat paraha vashehi asyendriyani tasya pragya pratishthita. That Ambarish Maharaj used his eyes for seeing the beauty of the Lord, ears for hearing the glories of the Lord, nose for smelling the beautiful tulsi and flowers offered at the feet of the Lord, hands for cleansing the temple of the Lord, feet for walking to the devotional place of the Lord. In other places, withdraw. So when you are going through the streets of Bombay, withdraw. Withdraw means be focused. Why I'm going? What am I doing? That's all. Just do the needful. Not too much getting involved. That is why in the temples they have this tortoise. You know, right in front, old temples, they have this tortoise like this. This is the place to open up. But devotees become expert. They are so self-controlled that sometimes they decide to close in. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Amazing. And then Grantha Rashimad Bhagavatam ki. During chanting time also. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvait Gadadhar Shivasthi. And then three conch shell blows and so one should know where actually to bring out and absorb like a sponge and when to just kind of withdraw and just do the needful. That is sitting. They may be moving all around, but they are sitting at one place. And that is at the lotus feet of the Lord, remembering the Lord always. They are sitting at the lotus feet of the Lord, remembering the Lord. Whereas externally, just like Arjun was shooting arrows. All his senses were fully active, obviously fully alert. But then he was always thinking, Karishye Vachanam Tava. You want me to do it? I'll do it. That's all. So he's sitting at one place, though moving around. Otherwise, you couldn't be sitting at one place and your mind is moving all around. It is reverse. For a person whose mind is uncontrolled, he may be going and sitting at one place, but his senses are moving all around, his moving mind is moving all around. He's traveling all around, but externally sitting at one place. But a devotee of the Lord is sitting at one place, but his externally he may be doing, moving around. What is that? in the fifth chapter also. Pashyan Shrinvan Smrishan Ashnan Jighran Ashnan Gachan Swapan Shwasan Pralapan Visrajan Grinhan Unmishan Nimishan Napi Indriyan Indriyarteshu Vattan Titi Dhare. This is more like a Jnani type of conception. But a person sees that and does. Just like I was reading yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj's symptoms. Prahlad was such a Mahabhagavat. He was fully absorbed. And his eating, sleeping, bathing, etc. were done automatically. Automatically doesn't mean that he was, some machine that which was, Hiranyakashipu had manufactured a machine which was just dressing him up. Meaning, it has to be done. That's all. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all his activities were just as a ritual, he was getting his bodily needs fulfilled. But his mind was fully absorbed. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant example. So beautiful to understand. He says, just like a young baby on the lap of his mother, the baby is fully absorbed in looking at the mother. And sometimes he's passing urine, passing stool, hungry. And the mother is fulfilling all the needs. He doesn't even know. He's just looking at the mother, absorbed in thought of her mother. And sometimes he dirties himself and everything she's feeding him. He's never concerned about that. And also, great personalities, they cry, they smile, they laugh, they become jubilant, they shout. That is also very nicely explained by Prabhupada in the purport. Hasati, atho, rauditi, gayati, unmadavat, nrityati, dance. Loka bahya, absolutely unconcerned about external situations. We cannot obviously artificially imitate that. Prabhupada explains, just like a child, same child. Mother has to do some other work, so she leaves the child and goes for her work. Suddenly the baby realizes, I can't see the mother anymore. She loudly starts crying. Then the mother comes, he's happy, silent, blissful. Then mother goes out again, loudly shouting. Oh, she's seeing her a long distance. Suddenly mother comes, he's, starts jumping, clapping his hands. Now, you don't take the picture of the mother, just video the child. You think he's gone mad. Suddenly, crying and laughing. Just video the child, without the mother. Similarly, a child, a devotee, is always in constant touch with the Lord. We can't see the Lord. He can see. Sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe tar murti sarvatra hoye nija ishtadeva spurti. He knows Everything is the property of the Lord. He can see the Lord everywhere, 24 hours, constantly. And so the Lord suddenly disappears. He starts crying. And we don't see. Why is he crying? And suddenly laughing because the Lord is coming. Just the anticipation is going to come. He starts dancing. Oblivious to the external situation. He doesn't even know how the world is going on. How people can absorb themselves in this gratification. So blissful. Amazing. This purport is very nicely given. This example made it so clear. How the bodily functions automatically goes on for a very, very exalted Mahabhagavat. Though he's doing all that. But actually his consciousness is fixed on the thought of Krishna. And all these external things can be understood because he's constantly in touch with Krishna. Anyway, that's a diversion. So this is how he sits. Then, how does he walk? How does he walk means, how does he engage in activity? That is also explained. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atmavashyair vidhiyatma prasadam adigacchati. Generally, our all activity is raga dvesha. It's motivated by raga attachment. And therefore, for that material things to be achieved, we are working day and night. But for a devotee of the Lord, he knows, I'm going to get what I want, when I want, how much I want. There's no point in that. So let me do what I'm supposed to do. So, raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyais charan atmavashyair. He has controlled his senses. Then why does he move? Atmavashyair vidheyatma. Vidheyatma means his activities are regulated by the religious principles. He is acting tasmat shastram pramanam te karya akarya vyavasthitau. So he is acting because the shastra says you must act. Like Dhritarasura. Why is he fighting? Is he interested in this fight? He is not interested in fighting with Indra. He wants to go back to Godhead. He knows anyway he is going to be killed. He could have relaxed. But no. Shastra says, you must perform your duty till the end of your life. I am performing my duty. As long as even I have one hand. Hand is cut. Second hand, that is also cut. What is there? Mouth is there. Let me engulf this fellow. And after he finished, what else? No other duty. Relaxed. So, he is acting based on regulatory principles. Prasadam adhigacchati. And this cannot come without the mercy of the Lord. These four things cannot come without the mercy of the Lord. Prasadam adhigacchati. That prasada is mercy. Grace. That's why we say his divine grace. Whose divine grace? His divine grace coming through him. Krishna Kripa Shri Murti. He is a personification of Krishna's mercy. He is telling us, do this, act in this way, speak in this way, be in this way. This will what? Prasadam adhigacchati. This will you will receive the prasada. Yasya prasadada bhagavat prasada. By pleasing him, by acting in relationship with the representatives of the Lord and regulating our lives and acting and engaging, etc. Prasadam adhigacchati. So we don't do anything which is not sanctioned by the Lord. Sanctioned by that's why we say, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittete Koryo Aikya Arna Koryo Mone Asha. So, Prasade Sarodukhanam Hanihi Asya Upajayat. By that, how do you know you have received the mercy of the Lord? Prasade Sarodukhanam. All three kinds of miseries. Dukkha basically means three kinds of miseries caused by body and mind, other living entities and natural disturbances. Hanihi asya upajayate. They won't affect you the way they used to affect before. Miseries caused by body and mind, miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by natural disturbances do not affect you and disturb you as much as they used to before. Prasanna cheta sohi ashu. prasanna chetos. And a person becomes happy in any circumstance. He's blissful under any circumstance. Brahma bhuta prasanna atma. Tada rajastamo bhava kama lobhadeshchaye cheta etair anavidham sthitam sattve prasidati. In sattva guna he becomes prasidati, he's satisfied, pleased, happy. And then prasanna cheto and buddhi pari avatishthate. Intelligence becomes fixed. And it goes on building up further. Then it says, but his activities may look ordinary. He's also eating, you're also eating, he's also sleeping, you're also sleeping. But no, it's not. His consciousness is totally different. Yanisha sarobhutanam tasyam jagrati sayami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyatoman. There is a big difference between the two people performing the same activities. Duryodhana is shooting arrows, killing people. Arjuna is shooting arrows, killing people. Externally doing the same thing. But there is a big difference between 180 degree difference between why he is doing, why he is doing. This person is doing motivated by desire, motivated by ego, false ego. To lord it over and to enjoy. False ego means to lord it over. And desire is to enjoy. The propensity to enjoy, the propensity to lord it over, motivates us to act. But the activity performed by the devotee is not motivated by desire, as expressed in the later apuryamanam achala pratishtam. Sa shantima na kama kami. Just like so many rivers are coming and filling into the ocean. But the ocean is not overflowing or any going down and drying up. It's the same. And vihaya kamanya sarvan pumamscharati nispruha. Nispruha. Nispruha means not motivated by desire. And anahankara. And then the last verse says, what happens to such a person? Esha Brahmi sthiti. Esha Brahmi. Brahmi means Brahman realized. Esha Brahmi sthiti partha. O partha, O Arjun. One who is fixed in this spiritual consciousness, nainam prapya, na enam prapya vimuhyati. Having achieved this consciousness, in any condition of life, he never gets bewildered. We see Vritrasura. Even though he's about to die, such a dangerous position, such a painful position, such a humiliating position, but Esha Brahmi sthiti, because he has got that realization of his constitutional position, I'm eternal servant of the Lord, na enam prapya vimuhyati, and sthitva asyam, and if a person, having fully realized that level of consciousness, continues to remain antakalepi, sthitvasam antakalepi, if he continues to retain it till the last part of his life, as Vritrasura is doing it, brahma nirvanam richati. Such a person is 100%, he's just going back to Godhead. Some other day, one devotee asked me this question. I don't know who. So, Prabhuji, how do we know? So many people are dying. We are telling that they are going back to Godhead. How do we know such a person has actually gone back to Godhead or not? What is the test? Out of sentiment, you may say, somebody relative dies, Gyana Bhagavadham, Gaya. That's sentimental. So good. Please that person. This is the real test. If a person is in this consciousness, then it's guaranteed 100% that such a person is going back to Godhead, because he's already in Godhead right now. And therefore such a person is sure. It's only a question. It's just like, as Narada Muni says, like a lightning. It just came back. So you close your eyes and then you open and you're in Golok Vrindavan. Krishna is telling, why so late, Baba? I was waiting for you. Guaranteed. Of course, after hearing this, we may become little, ye jeevan mein to chance hi nahi hai. Absolutely, we have no hope. But we should not get a little discouraged and thinking that, I don't know, I've been chanting for so long, nothing is happening. Test yourself in these things. A long way to go. But at least, I saw a very nice poster many years ago. It showed a huge waterfall. And they showed the source of the water. It just went like that. And then it became so small. The source of the waterfall was somewhere behind, up there. But the place which they showed like this, the movie was taken right from where the waterfall is actually, as if it's falling on the camera. And it says the longest journey begins with the first step. The longest journey, maybe a long journey, but you have to take the first step, then the next, and then the next, and then the next. And before long, you know, no more steps. All behind, you're already there. So, utsahat nishchaya dhairyat. Rupa Goswami intelligently covered everything. Utsahat, how do you get enthusiasm? Just few millions years to go. Come on, be enthusiastic. What? Nishchayat, have faith. And dhairyat, have patience. If you don't have patience, that is a sign of mode of passion. And if you are not enthusiastic, that you lack mode of passion. Of course, passion on one hand is utsaha, and other side is dhairya. Sometimes contradict. Patience and simultaneously enthusiasm. They seem a little contradictory. Simply enthusiasm without patience is in the mode of passion. Enthusiasm, and then like a Diwali rocket, you know. Where does it go? Nobody sees the other part, because you know when it was going, it was showering out so much, spraying out so much, you know, sparkling. Everyone is seeing. And then it's disappeared, that's all. And somebody's rooftop, you'll find it. So mere enthusiasm without patience is like a Diwali rocket. But only patience without enthusiasm can be more of ignorance also. Prabhuji, this lifetime I have decided not to do. Next life, anywhere. We have to be patient, you see. So, both are adjusted only if you have nishchaya. Nishchaya means you have to have full faith that Krishna can give me in a moment, or he may give me a million years. I don't care when he gives. That's up to him. My job is not to hurry him up. Come on, give me soon. No, patience. But at the same time, I show my enthusiasm. I want to come, huh? Please. I want to come. Please, I'm there, still in the line. Please notice me. But at the same time, because we are the servant, we are not the master. You can't barge into the kingdom of God, as it is said. So, by kind of judging ourselves, we come to know where we are. And at the same time, we can proceed. And therefore, Indra had never seen a demon of this caliber. And therefore, he surprised Aho Danava. Siddhosi, my God, you have achieved really perfection because of your discrimination and Eta Idrishi and your endurance. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Stop or take a question. 10 o'clock is Khichdi. One question, if there is any, we can take. Yes. Sachitanuj Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for your wonderful class. So Prabhuji, when you were saying that devotees are, they tolerate difficulties, is it unnatural to cry out for protection from the Lord during the time of difficulty? So if they are Siddha Pragya, does it mean that they do not cry out for help in terms of, in times of difficulty?
My feeling, my strong feeling is, we shouldn't, after hearing all this exalted philosophy, try to act on a platform we are not. Just be yourself. Be honest. But don't be, don't engage in self-pity. There's a difference between humility and self-pity. Humility means, my Lord, I have absolutely, you know, I'm so fallen. But at the same time, immediately it's always followed by, but your mercy is unlimited. You can deliver anyone. So I have hope in you, hoping against hope in you. Self-pity means, I'm so fallen that even you can't do anything, my Lord. Bye. Hare Krishna. That is, you don't understand Krishna and you don't understand yourself also. That is a false ego. I'm so fallen. That, you know, a justification. That's your mind, that's all. So, we just have to be humble. We have to accept. Even Bhagavatam has Gajendra, who cried out because he was miserable. And he saw the futility of any other situation can't help him. It doesn't matter. Four kinds of people come to him, Krishna. Artho, Jigyasu, Arthardi. But Krishna says, all are great. Why? Because at least they are going to the right person. So we accept a humble position and we say, yes, I am not all like that caliber, but, you know, I need this. And at the same time, a devotee simultaneously feels so disgusted at himself. Chah. He does. And after the prayers, he says, kya poochha bhi to kya poochha. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, drinking a little chas and thing, so much time I am wasting. How can you waste time, Baba? If we see, he says, this is too much, Prabhu. That's a devotee's consciousness. He helplessly cries out spontaneously. But immediately he feels. And after he receives it, he, you know, feels, what a level I am. That helps him. It also humbles him. It's good. We realize how fallen we are. But at the same time, whatever we are, Prabhu, you please accept us. I am what I am. Because artificially, if we try to force ourselves to act on a platform which we are not, what to speak of Indra? I don't know. None of us can claim that we are better than Indra. Indra is seeming like an asura here. So, when we were discussing, I think, fourth canto, Daksha Prajapati, he's a devotee. He's a devotee, is performing all rituals, but this kind of mentality was so deep-rooted. At least gradually we try to avoid all that, but also factually accept. But we have to have faith in the fact that Krishna never tests a person beyond his limit. Just like a teacher, she does not give to a fourth standard child a paper of eighth standard. He'll get bewildered. He obviously will fail. But at the same time, to eighth standard boy, she won't give second standard paper. He'll become overly... Just exactly what you need. 35% easy. 50 with little endeavor. You really have to cry out if you want to get more than 75. And take, you know, you have to deeply go of what you have studied in the past. All your sadhana. You have to take shelter. All that you have heard. All that you have seen. All that you have, you know. You have to take shelter of that to push yourself to get through such a situation. And sometimes we say, if he failed, sometimes we say, Krishna, maybe you didn't know my level. Huh? You gave me a paper. No. Somewhere we are like it. He knows better than us. He knows better than us. Where we turn to, actually, that is a success. It's not failure or success. Where do we turn to at that time? Whom do we turn to? Where do we turn to for shelter to get, further go? That is the test where our faith is. Where our faith is. Otherwise, when problem comes, then you say, I knew, Krishna consciousness, no answer to this. Then you turn back to your previous shelters. So where do we turn to? That's also. Is that clear?
Hare Krishna. So Prabhuji, when the residents of Vrindavan, when they were with a calamity during the episode of Giri Govardhan, so they are the highest devotees that we know, but they were crying out to Krishna for help. So how do you reconcile that the logic that you just said? Because they are on the highest platform, but they, in terms of difficulty, and somewhere I think it is written that for devotees to cry out to Krishna is very natural, because like how a child cries out to his mother. So being on the highest platform and still, so that's where. So is it natural for great devotees also to cry out to Krishna for help?
Actually, in case of Brajavasis, Krishna does this to increase their, just like in Kalia's pastimes, just to increase their love, churn their love. Krishna never leaves, leaves his devotees even one moment of boredom. Every day is exciting. Every moment is exciting. He will create something which is always exciting and always inspiring. So that arrangement, what he does, and when they turn to actually Krishna, is also, see, during Govardhan Leela, he says, the cows were shivering. So the Vrajavasis brought the cows. He says, keep protection to the cows. They are so dear to you, Krishna. Even Radharani was telling, Krishna is going away, but what will happen to, think about Mother Yashoda. Devotees are always concerned about other devotees. That's their love. So they want to actually make sure that other devotees, they can't see. All are transcendental, but at the same time, they can't see that kind of a thing. So they push them and says, they are suffering. Why aren't you doing something? Where is Shamanand Prabhu? You can add to this. he's nowadays in a lot of studying he's doing in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Pass the mic. No, we will churn out something. By the time mic comes, something will come out. Why do devotees cry out?
You want me to cry out?
To Krishna.
Maybe I can show how I can cry out because I don't have an answer. Well, I'll just venture something. If I understand this issue correctly, why does someone cry out and is crying out for Krishna's protection is a sign of mature faith or less faith? Is that the issue? That if somebody cries out, that means he's not mature, or
is that? That is, why do they cry? They're supposed to be tolerate and okay. remain.
Two counts, if somebody is not on an advanced level, so the very definition of Uttama Bhakti, Rupa Goswami uses very carefully words like Anya Bhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmari Anavritam, Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. And Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti comment on that, saying that they are not saying Anya Bhila Sha Shunya. There should be absolutely no desire. They are saying Anya Bhila Shita. So the word Anya Bhila Shita means you can understand desireness, like desire and desireness. Like somebody is sick and somebody is prone for sickness. So for sadhakas, sadhaka in the sense those who are doing sadhana bhakti, they have no love for Krishna, but they are desiring of love for Krishna. If their life is in danger and if they cry out, please save me. If you are driving and you are fearing an accident, or you are traveling in a plane and you are fearing that Krishna, please save me. So whether there is a danger or impending danger, to protect oneself, now oneself in conditioned state, you're not thinking I am only the soul. You also think I am this body, little bit at least. So protecting your body for further service to Krishna is allowed. Because as you rightly put it, artificially you don't need to put yourself on a higher platform. So therefore, Anya Bhilashita. But in Jnana and Karma Margas, there is a desire to control Krishna through fruitive activities or through mental gymnastics or expanding the activities of your mind. So therefore, that has to go completely. And the second count about why exalted devotees show that kind of fear. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, please save us from this forest fire. Please save us from this demon. Please save us from this. So they don't have
I think 10 o'clock they switch off. Huh? Indirect way of stopping.
Hare Krishna. So, the nectar of devotion explains that these activities, they spark various kinds of feelings in various kinds of devotees. And those who are friends of Krishna, for them, it is not the same wonder as seen by devotees who are acting as parents of Krishna. So those in Vatsalya Ras, they have to show that if my son is in danger, then I need to cry out like a mother. And if an ordinary mother can show love, how much more will a mother like Yashoda can show? So Prabhupada puts in English very plain and simple that Mother Yashoda's feeling is, if Krishna doesn't eat, he will die. So if you and me go to tell her that technically it's not possible, he's not able to die. He's a supreme spirit soul and we are all his part and parcels, and we don't die. So how can he die? So this kind of knowledge is useless. Because in Vatsalya Ras, she has to have the feeling that I have to feed him, otherwise he will die. So what to speak of this kind of feeling that I have to feed him, when she hears that he is in the coils of a serpent? Or the nectar of devotion has one example where the boys come and they tell in their tutti-putti language that today Krishna killed this demon. We went to Talwan, we liked the fruits, but when we went there, there was this donkey demon and we were afraid. We were knowing that there is some kind of demon there. So we told Krishna Balaram that please go and bring us fruits. So they went there, the demons came and Krishna killed all of them. So while Mother Yashoda was hearing this, slowly her eyes began to grow very big. And she's saying, what nonsense these boys are talking. You made my son go there just for getting you some fruits? So just try to understand. So that's the love which she shows. And that's because that's the Vatsalya Ras, which she's personification of that. So in Vrindavan, these devotees have to behave according to the Ras which they have accepted. So the devotee, technically, in technical language, devotee becomes the ashray of a particular kind of feeling, and Krishna becomes the vishay. So Krishna approaches that devotee who has that ashray of particular rasa, like the clouds take evaporated air, evaporation from the ocean, and at a particular place they shower it. So Krishna is a reservoir of all rasas, but that particular rasa taken from the ocean, taken by a cloud and showered somewhere, so you say that, well, in this particular part of India there was so much rain, but actually the origin of the rain is the ocean, which is somewhere else. I hope I have confused you enough. Hare Krishna.
This was on Vrindavan platform. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Thai Gaur Abhimanyu.